for many years.
Uh-huh.
And worked at a couple different places over there. And then I went back to work at AirTex in about 93. I quit working at Princeton over there, and I thought, well, I'd like to just try my own shop.
Sure.
You know? And kids were up, grown, gone. So, yeah. So we, you know, we borrowed a truckload of money and put a machine shop in out there, and then I took on a partner, and then I
got So now you started the machine shop in Springerton, or you started up
out,
here?
Okay. Out in the country in Springerton. And then I took
How
on
How do
a,
you start? If Okay, when you I got a question.
Okay.
If you're starting from scratch like that.
Yes.
How do you go about getting customers?
Okay. Whenever I worked over at Siemens over at Princeton, Indiana, I had some engineers that I worked with.
Uh-huh.
And then these engineers went on and they subbed out work.
I see.
So, and that's just like nowadays. I mean, we used to do a lot of work for AirTex before
sure.
they shut down. And a couple of the engineers that have used to work there, one now is at Toyota, and he hollers at us and says, hey, you want to do some work for us?
Oh, yeah.
Like, sure.
Yeah.
You know, and stuff. And almost everything we do for companies like that is done by a blueprint or used to what.
But is it all is that industry word of mouth? Or I mean, you've developed the reputation in the industry of the quality, or how's that?
I'd say
do your customers are you mainly thrown to other customers from other guys?
Yeah, I have that some, and like when engineers change jobs to another place, say, remember I used to work at so and so, and you know you did some sure you know, but I mean we also get a lot of feedback from this one place will call us and say, hey, I heard you done some work for so and so, and we got something similar to it, you know,
sure.
jigs, fixtures. Whatever like that. We just got to finish up a nice big project for Sisney Ironworks.
Oh, really?
And
he's got a nice little shop out there,
yeah,
doesn't he?
Yeah, and what it was is they needed to have 550 things all bent exactly the same because they were working on a project for Deaconess Hospital over.
Okay.
And it's railing is what it was.
Yeah.
Decorated.
Yeah, yeah. Sisney Ironworks have been doing railing now for a few years.
Yeah, and so we end up building a little form die. And we run it in our hydraulic press and made them 550 of all the same. They furnished the material, and we just bent them all down, made them all the same and stuff. And they was happy to get them, you know, and stuff.
Yeah.
I guess, so.
Yeah. Okay, so you're down in Springerton.
Yep.
You start getting bigger and bigger. What happened?
Yeah, and we needed basically electricity. Down there, I was on rural electricity on Wainwright, and we was needing three-phase power, plain and simple.
Couldn't get it on Wainwright.
I could, but it was they'd had to run.
They had to install it.
Yeah, they'd had to run seven poles.
Oh,
and the cost would have been.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, you probably know how much poles cost. I'm not going to bring that up.
I knew you was going to mention that.
No, I'm not going to bring that up.
Okay.
Okay. So you decided to move
sure.
up to the at that time, I guess the CDC building was.
Yeah, the CDC building was, and Susan Murphy. Mm-hmm. Helped us out. She was great in trying to help us out anything we needed.
When did you come up to Fairfield?
December of 99, I believe.
Okay.
It was when we came to Fairfield. And, you know, we worked real hard there, and I thought it was just going to be me and my partner and maybe another guy in there mm-hmm. and stuff. And then we ended up getting Paul Brock Jones come into work for us. Brett Tellis used to work for us out there. And we just kept adding on more and more guys, and we kept getting more and more jobs. And the company up at, north of us, up floor up there, bread slicing company.
Okay.
Up there, we did a lot of work for them, and, you know, we used to do a lot of oil field related work, and we had to add more guys.
There was a bread slicing company in Flora?
I
hate to seem like a moron,
the machines, They built the machines. It's at Bentendorf, Stanford.
Okay.
They built the machines to slice bread.
No kidding.
Yes.
I had no idea.
And they also made the blades to slice the bread.
Yeah. I could see those going together.
And, you know, these guys up there, they'd been in business for years, and they made the different machines for the sandwich bread.
Yeah.
And you know, when you look at one of these machines, it's like, boy, there's a lot of moving parts on that. And we actually built, I think it was 7 or 8 of these complete units.
So you're building the parts that they're going to put together.
We actually put these all together.
Oh, is that right?
So we took these up in units.
Oh, I see.
And stuff. And what it was is their saw blades come down through there and you know, and it did this, and it oscillated back and forth, and you just sawed the.
All right, I got to know. How big are the blades on a bread slicer?
Well, they're very, I mean, they're similar to a bandsaw blade.
Got to be real thin, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're real thin, and they have a wavy cut texture to them, you know.
Like a serrated edge.
Yes. And
Like your knife bread slicing.
Exactly. And that's what helps me out, I think, on a lot of when somebody, like I go to Continental Tire and they say, we don't know how to, well, you got any ideas on this? And I said, well, when we worked at Siemens or whenever I went up to North America Lighting or when I went up to Bentendorf Stanford, they had a similar situation. Yeah. Oh, okay, well, that probably worked, you know, and stuff. So knowledge is key in my
I guess so. I mean, yeah. and that's the point. How much of the... All right, say Continental Tire needs something.
Okay,
sure. And we'll talk about we'll just talk about the ones your innovation on the since the people in the last 20 years have gone from driving when I started driving, I was driving on 16-inch tires.
Mm-hmm.
16, 17. Right. You know, my station wagon
had
16-inch tires. And people don't use 16-inch tires
now anymore. Yeah, 18s, 19, 20s, 21s.
But the thing is, Continental Tire didn't want to replace all their equipment, do they?
No. Continental Tire, they're trying to run more molds in the older machines.
Right.
And the older machines only went up to an 18-inch tire. So now they have these 20-inch tires coming out of these molds.
The 20-inch tire, the everybody started going to the 20s probably 10 years ago.
Exactly. And now then, so in order to make production over there, they have to modify these machines to handle the bigger tires when they put them in and take them out, you know, and stuff.
Right.
So that's where we kind of come into play, and we showed them.
So what happened?
Well,
so they called you.
They
and
called
you,
us.
And you said, hey, they said, hey, look, I've got this issue. We've got these, we got to go to the 20-inch
tires. Yeah, they said, we got this issue where we can't get this to do this, and we don't want to.
What do you do? You head over there and just take a look? Or
I go over there and get hooked up with an engineer.
Do you take anybody with you?
Yeah, I take some of the guys with me from time to time and stuff, and then I bring back. I may bring back a video of this thing running on my cell phone.
Sure.
Know? And we look at it and say, well, why can't we do this and stuff? And you know, we put it all together, and the guys, well, we could do this and we could do that. We did a nice big job for them here a while back where they was doing a heated knife. It comes in and cuts the rubber.
Okay.
And this would took a
good Lord.
10-second cycle time to
How
cut this
hot
rubber.
Is a heated knife to cut rubber?
Well, it's 300 and 400 degrees. Well, you know.
Yeah.
But they used the ultrasonic knives, and it would go 10 seconds to cut this right in the middle of the cycle.
Okay.
And we end up come up with an idea to put this heated knife assembly on here for them. See what I mean? And we developed it with their engineers over there.
Speed it up.
And yeah, it took like a second and a half, and it was done. So
no kidding.
So, you know, you get to thinking, they put that same apparatus that we built for them on, I think, 12 machines.
Okay.
And I'm sure they're using it over in Africa, too. And over
wherever they have the different.
Germany. Yeah, they're probably using the same thing. We're not building them.
Continental Tire is not a small company.
No, they're not. They're major. But, I mean, if you can cut something like that right out of the center of a cycle time, you know what I mean?
Oh, sure.
Where they knock 9 seconds off each other, and they're making 30,000 tires a day.
You're looking at economies of scale there that are really going to – it's going to help them on the bottom line.
So then once after you establish yourself on something like that, then they say, hey, we've got another problem over here. Would you come and look at this and stuff? And maybe we can help them. Maybe we can't.
What came first? I hate to ask a chicken-egg question.
Yeah.
What came first, the knife or the larger tires? Larger tire construction.
Larger tires, yeah.
Really?
And this heated knife assembly was on a totally different thing.
And when I say,
for the
people who may not be listening closely, when I say the larger tire, talking about the adjustments to the machines build the larger tires.
And the other one, the one on the larger tires, that was what we called the piggyback.
Yeah.
And the piggyback is like what we did there for them was we was able to come up with a nice method where they were using springs to hold their paddles when it tire come out expanded. When it expanded, pick up the tar, springs would break off, they would damage the tar, they'd just tear up stuff.
Well, the tire's probably pretty soft then anyway.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And so we come up with a nice method that would not do that. I mean, it stays in position when it comes out to grab the tar. And they'd already thought that was really good and stuff. So I kind of feel like my shop out there is, and my guys, you know, has helped Continental Tire.
Oh yeah,
you know, and make
help make them competitive,
right? And you know, a little job we did for them here a while back was 2 or 3 years ago. They was having trouble. Everything nowadays automated, and it runs off of proc switches and stuff like that. Well, the machine was tearing up one after it runs so many cycles, it'd get loose and it'd fall off, and then the procs didn't have nothing there to read, and it would tear the
stop the process.
It'd rip out this here $80 bladder bag out of the middle of it, you know. Well, I made them readers that would go on there, and they clamped on real good. And once they put them on, they didn't have a bit of problem.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So, that speeds things up, too.
Oh, yeah. It's like to keep the
You keep the machine running. Yeah, if you keep the machine running, it's going to – they're selling more tires.
And, you know, Champ Labs, we did a lot of stuff for them in the past. And it's like if you keep the people working, you know, then they want me to again to do something else. And you know, well, can you fix
it? Well, that's the thing. That's the thing, Gordy. If you're you're reducing labor costs.
Exactly.
Per unit.
Yes.
Is what you're ending up doing there.
Yes, exactly.
And that way they're either able to make more units or reduce their costs and help things out.
Exactly there. And stuff. So, you know, it's just a ongoing process. And you know, like I said, I've seen things that maybe they haven't thought of and stuff. And some of it's kind of just basic stuff. It's like, well, why don't you do this? Well, we never thought of that. Okay, you know, because some people do overthink things when they're trying to
build. How many different how many different recurring clients do you think you have, like that you'll see more than once a year or something like that?
Oh yeah, probably. I'd say we probably have 8 or 10 major clients that we deal with almost all the time.
Is that right?
Yeah, and they take and we have some steady customers, and we'll build something for them, like 500 units of something for a guy down in Kentucky, and then he calls us up 6 months later. I need 500 more of them. Okay.
It's kind of tough to ask the question with $40 or $50 oil, but what do you and your employees like to work on better, the manufacturing side of things, or like the molds and repairs that you're doing for oil field equipment? Because you do quite a bit of that too.
Yeah, we do quite a bit of oil field related stuff, and when it comes to that, that's more or less what I call old school.
Yeah,
as to where.
Heavier metals.
Yeah. And, you know, losing a lot of aluminum, bronze, stainless steel sleeves. We put in a lot of them. But that's all making the part in the lathe, boring the part out in the mill, putting it all together, making sure it's all right. That's where the other stuff for Toyota Bazooka, we do a lot of work for them now.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, we need 6 of these, 12 of these, and 15 of those. And it's
right.
Like, okay. And then guys program them, run them in the mills and the lathe.
I'm talking with Gordy Toombs of Toombs Machine and Gordy's Machine and Tool out there on the west end of Fairfield. We're going to talk a little bit more when we return about some of the more interesting custom stuff that they do, because he told me some stuff yesterday that I had no idea. when he makes the point, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to come out for the nickel tour, it's worth your time. It's pretty good.
And I give you
Gordy.
A nickel back.
That's exactly. Well, yeah, that's cheap.
Yeah, really.
That's a cheap tour. I've got Gordy Toombs here. You're listening to the Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield. Back after these. Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. I'm talking here with Gordy Toombs of Gordy's Machine and Tool out there on the west edge of Fairfield. You moved out there to the west edge of Fairfield 2 years ago.
Right.
Max Tips Building. Yeah, Max and Sharkey out there. What kind of renovations did you end up having to do out there, Gordon?
Well, it had a good concrete floor.
Well, that's good.
And we went in, and the wife painted almost everything inside there and stuff, and we cleaned everything up. Then after we started moving machines in, and we'd painted the outside, she did too. After we started moving machines in, it had some sky domes in there, and some of them actually started in leaking. And when you have a $80,000 machine sitting yeah. there, you can't have water dripping on it yeah. because you don't know. So then that's when we put the roof on it.
Right.
And then that's when the compliments started coming in from everybody around in that area down in there, like, oh, you fixed our building up real nice. It's like, okay.
Yeah. Well, thanks. You say our building. Yeah. Write me a check.
Yeah. But I mean, it looks great. I like doing things like that for Fairfield and you know, and for us and stuff, because it and then we blowed a foot and a half of insulation up in the flat roof area.
Sure.
And now it's so much easier to heat, and it's just great.
I mean, you mentioned your machines. Tell me a little bit about where do you find, or who, I guess there are manufacturers that will build these machines for you, or are they?
They're already built. A lot of them are, some of them are made in different countries and then shipped over here uh-huh. and stuff like that. So, but I mean, you just have to, like our EDM wire machines, on those, we have to figure out what best works for our.
Like if you're making a particular component.
Yes.
For somebody, or maybe a mold for say, Champ.
Yeah.
Do you tell the machine to basically build these same molds, or you have to go from one machine to the other? How does it typically work?
Well, we built a bunch of air filter molds for Champ here a few years ago, and you had to program every line, every hole, every radius, every contour, mm-hmm. everything like that, and then prove it out and make sure it's right. I mean, so the guy may have five, six, seven hours.
They'll on the prototype.
Yes,
you'll build the prototype, get approval of it,
and then they run them. Yeah, okay. Then they run them. So you may have 5, 6, 7, 8 hours on programming, getting that all tweaked out. And then the runtime may be like an hour and a half.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. How long does it take to, I say you've got a foot and a half mold. I saw one of your molds
exactly,
yesterday.
Exactly, one aluminum mold.
Yeah, that nice aluminum mm-hmm. mold. How yeah. long does it take to build with something
and,
like that?
And something like that, I mean, it may
after have. After you have it engineered.
Yeah, after you have it engineered. Actually, the running of that probably was like probably a total of 2 hours, 2 hours and a half.
Oh, really?
To do one, yeah. So you may have some side work you have to do on another machine, and the flat work is done in the CNC machining center.
Okay.
So I mean, you know, but there's all kinds of machines out there to do specific work, you know.
Tell me a little bit about the materials. What kind of raw materials are typically working with out there? This might be more for whenever we start talking about custom, mm-hmm. and we probably need to start talking about custom eventually. Mm-hmm. Can you work with anything, any metals? Like if somebody comes in and says, I want a silver horseshoe.
We can probably make them a silver horseshoe.
Right? Yeah.
And it's just, I tell a lot of people it's just a dollar thing when they come in. I mean, it's like, can you make this? It's like, yes, but that's pretty high dollar material. And it's like, how high? Well, I'll get a quote on it and I'll say, here's the price on it. Now, can we get something cheaper? Well, yeah, you can, but it won't last as long. See what
yeah.
I mean? But we do a lot of stuff, stainless steel. We do a lot of work with stainless steel. Tool steels, we do a lot of tool steels.
Much iron work?
Not really. That's more or less Sisney Ironworks up there and stuff.
Okay.
They do a lot of ironworks. But, I mean, we do a lot of there's other materials out there. We build a lot of shafts for people. We cut keyways into shafts. We make splines to go in some of the shafts. And we have the EDM wire machines, which we showed you that there
yeah.
yesterday. That was pretty – that's pretty – that one we had, it was $130,000 when we bought
it. Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, that's all right. Yeah.
But it's still alive and it's still working good.
You're buying your machines, though, right? You're not leasing them for the most part? I didn't know how if you could lease those.
You can actually lease them with a dollar buyout at the end of the year.
Oh, okay.
At the end of the 5 years.
End of the term. So,
yeah. Anything you buy in the machine shop world, I don't care what the price of it is, you can lease it for 5 years with a dollar buyout.
Is that right?
So the higher the dollar amount of the machine, the bigger the payment is.
You've been doing this for 30, 40 years now, total.
Yeah.
And counting AirTech.
Oh, yeah, 1972, I think 71, 72 when I started, yeah.
What kind of obsolescence do you run into on those machines? The ones you were showing me yesterday, you've got a lot of new of machines there within the last 10 or 15 years, but you have some
yes.
older ones too that you're still
yeah.
able to do stuff on. How long will a typical in that industry, how long will a typical machine last you?
Well, we just got through getting rid of some that were CNC machining centers, like the ones I showed you there, that's pretty new. We replaced them. One's 3 years old and one's 6 years old. And the ones that we took out were 1985, 1987 models.
Oh, really?
And they were having a lot of trouble, and then you get to where you can't get parts for them.
Yeah.
So that really creates a...
So the parts, the lack of parts probably helps. What kind of trouble were they having? Were the machines still working fine if you were able to get parts? And were you able to computerize those things? Or how's
yeah, but the electronics on them, I mean, they get to where you're having trouble with electronic boards.
Yeah.
And you can't get a replacement board.
No,
for
I can see that.
It's just like, wow, you know, and that's the only thing that's wrong with that is it won't run, you know, right there in that mode.
Who are some of your employees? I know that you've got a nice crew out there.
Yeah, we've got a pretty good bunch of guys. We've got full-time guys. We got Jason Hardy. He's been with us forever almost. And Jason Riggs, he's from Mount Carmel area. Rich Carter, he's from down at the Millshills area. Paul Brock Jones, he's over West Salem.
Uh-huh.
And James Blangy, he's here in town, you know, James and stuff.
Sure.
And he's part-time. And then there's a guy, Leon Allen, he's off right now, had a little back surgery. So he's up in the Johnsonville area.
Sure.
So we have a vast area of people here. And Dave Kirchy, he works for us. He's a part-time guy. And me and my daughter and my wife, we all work there. Diane runs errands for us, does this, does cleaning and stuff.
I saw you had a new employee yesterday.
Which one? My little granddaughter.
The little one.
Yeah, Callie Joe. Yeah. Yeah. But you didn't get to see her very long because big guys scare her.
No, I didn't. She walked in and saw me and was turning her head. She wanted away from the large, loud guy.
Yeah, and you know, but I mean.
As opposed to the skinny, tall, loud guy.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of the guys work for me. He's been there for umpteen years. And we try to treat them all like family. I mean, everybody has problems. I mean, plain and simple.
Oh, everybody
you know.
Does.
And it's like, I need to take off. I need to go. And you do. But the thing about it is, my guys is like, I can look at them and say, we got to get that done this afternoon. Can you stay over?
And they'll help you out.
Sure. You bet, you know, and stuff. They'll stay over and get
well,
things
done.
Well, that's key. So they scratch my back. I scratch theirs.
Sure.
And we all get along real good.
Last bit of the show here, mm-hmm. You were showing me some of the custom stuff that you do, I had no idea that you would make that you would basically drill out. I saw the thing out there at the Chinese restaurant. It was the first piece of work of yours
right.
I ever
yeah,
saw.
Yeah, and it got stolen.
Did it get stolen?
Yes, it did.
The New World Chinese
the paperweight that was
the paperweight.
Well, paperweight, yeah.
What are you looking for? If somebody comes in, I mean, if somebody wants to build, like I said, a silver trophy or
yeah,
something.
Sure. Well, they come in and stuff. Donna Vaughn, she's been pretty good to us on different things where she says, we got so-and-so retiring just like they did here a while back. You know, and can we make her a plaque with her name on it, the state seal, you know, and which we put that in there here a while back, the state seal, we put it in there and did it on a couple jobs for Donna and some other people. And, you know, it's, can you make one of them? It's like, sure, you know. So we'll put that in the machine, but it may have like a two-hour runtime.
Yeah.
And, you know, but it has their name on there and has maybe their dates when they started and when they left. But it's just all part of the programming process.
What's the strangest item, custom type of item you think you've worked on for somebody?
I don't know what that would be. We've had some pretty weird stuff come through. One young man from Carmi wanted us to make a special arrow.
An arrow?
Arrow for a broadhead, yes.
Really?
All out of stainless, one piece.
So you made the one piece arrow?
No, we worked with
him.
Did
you just work on the head, or did you build the arrow?
We designed this out for him and had 5 or 6 hours of time with him. And he says, how much is this going to cost? And I said, well, I think you're probably looking at $300 for these first couple, you know, and stuff. Well, Dad don't want to go that much. So we get into that sometimes where, like, it's you, – and you think
you need
it's
to get
be,
to that cost question earlier.
Yeah. But that's where some people just don't realize, like, how many machines it would take and the dollar amount of the machine. We run like a $65 our shop rate just for general shop rate.
Sure.
You know, and I don't know what, you know, I kind of relate us to, like, what does Le Mans charge to work on your car? Or what does Jibber call, you know, and stuff. So we're right in that area. Some of the specialized machines are higher, more higher dollar, but they do five times the work, you know.
So. None of us getting any younger, Gordy. What are you looking at in the future? What's next for Gordy's machine and tool?
Well, I don't know. We just put in that other new used machine for us and stuff like.
Which one was the new one?
That was that EDM
water submersing machine, one?
Submergible, yeah, submergible EDM.
By the way, that looks that is a complex machine. Your guys are pretty smart out there.
Yeah, my guys. Some of them have been through like Vincent's schooling for tool and die, you know, yeah. And some of them have been Wabash, and there's a lot of. But also it's like doing it on a daily basis.
Sure.
And then educating yourself and saying, I wonder if we could do this.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, look at that. And then we've had guys stop in that used to work for us before and stuff and say, you can do this on there too. And like, oh, that's pretty cool. Then they just take it and run with it, you know, and stuff. Like, we can do that. Yeah.
That's really cool. You said silver. Can you get, like, if somebody wanted something made out of gold?
I don't know. I've never had the gold.
You've never
gold.
Had anybody
never
ask
had to
for
go
gold?
The gold route and stuff before. But, you know, I mean
it'd be pricey.
I bet it would. What it,
say all right.
$1,800 an ounce.
Say I want a gold putter.
Ooh.
Not the putter. This is the head.
Yeah.
The putter head.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it's, yeah. That'd be really, really cool.
Let me calculate this out. How much does that weigh?
it's going to weigh quite a bit. Let's see.
That's how we do all the quoting, though, as I go out and I have vendors that we use that I...
Just figure out what you're going
to
need.
I figure out the cost of the material, then I try to make an educated guess on how long it would take to make it.
And that's where your brain equity comes in along with your sweat equity.
Yeah, but, and some of it is repeat type work, like we've done something similar to this, and we know it took 30 minutes, 80 minutes. 45 minutes, whatever.
It's out there on the west edge of Fairfield. What's the address out there, Gordon?
1420 West Main.
1420 West Main. Gordy, thanks very much for coming in. It's fascinating. I'm glad you came in and talked about this.
And like I said, anybody wants to stop in for the nickel tour, hey, stop in. I'll be glad to show you.
Exactly right. That's Bruce Dickey's show for today, folks. Thanks for listening. Talk to you all again tomorrow. Have a wonderful Thursday.
Yeah, we could fill in.